Welcome to WMNF 88.5 FM, WMNF.org. I'm Sean Canaan. Today, we continue our look at the most important elections this year in the Tampa Bay area. St. Petersburg is electing a new mayor and three new city council members. We've already heard from two of the mayoral candidates, and we'll hear from the others before the primary election, which is 3 weeks from today. A couple of weeks ago, we heard from the candidates in District 8 for city council, and today, we're going to hear the candidates in the two other races, Districts 1 and 4. So even if you don't live in St. Petersburg, you should still pay attention because it's the largest city in Pinellas. It's the second largest in our region. Later on in the show, I'll take your phone calls. And in the meantime, if you have any comments about which candidates you prefer or anything that they said, you can email us at dj@wmnf.org. You can also text 813-433-0885. Please sign your name if you do send a text. Thank you to everyone who donated to our two-day fundraising drive last week. WMNF came up short, and so did this show. So I'm asking that if you appreciate coverage of local political races, if you like our coverage of the environment, and all the other stories that we cover at 10 a.m. on Tuesday mornings, please make a donation right now at WMNF.org. I want to thank a donor who contributed $60 since the last show. So thank you to Jessica in Tampa for that donation. So now I'm going to play audio from a recent candidate forum with the candidates for St. Petersburg City Council, Districts 1 and 4. The forum was hosted by the League of Women Voters of the St. Petersburg area and the Institute for Strategic Policy Solutions at St. Petersburg College. It was moderated by former Bay News 9 anchor Al Rochelle. He asked questions of these candidates for District 1, Ed Carlson, Copley Gertis, and John Horbeck. We'll hear from them in a second. And we'll also hear from these three candidates for District 4, Lisette Hanowitz, Tom Mullins, and Doug O'Dowd. And if no candidate gets the majority in the August 24th primary, the top two will face off in November's general election. If you want more information about the St. Petersburg municipal election, you can find that at votepinellas.com. So here is Al Rochelle asking the first question of Ed Carlson, Copley Gertis, and John Horbeck in District 1, and Lisette Hanowitz, Tom Mullins, and Doug O'Dowd in District 4.
What makes you the best qualified for the office that you are seeking? Candidate Carlson, you go first. You have 1 minute.
I love St. Petersburg. I was born here. I grew up here. Six of my children grew up here. 10 of my 12 grandchildren are growing up here. I served in the U.S. Air Force in Turkey, came back to my neighborhood, and I've been president of Jungle Terrace Civic Association for 16 years. We have two award boards, 6 feet tall, with awards on both sides of them. We're the most awarded neighborhood in the city. In addition to that, I got with Chief Holloway and founded the Midtown Miracles martial arts programs for kids 4 to 14 in Midtown, and we've enhanced Walt Fuller Park, Pinellas Trail, and Stonehenge Park underneath Tyrone Overpass. We got 22 artists that have painted 21 pillars and 10 walls, the largest of which is 1,400 square feet. So I'm the get her done person that has experience in this process.
All right, Mr. Gertis, you have 1 minute. Same question. Just give me your reason that you're the best qualified for this office.
Thank you, and thanks for having me. My name is Copley Gertis, born and raised in St. Petersburg, married to my beautiful wife, Cecily. We're raising our children here. I think I have about 24 family members in the district alone. I'm very blessed to have all that family here, but here's the deal. I just want to go to work for the district. I've built a business from the ground up. I paid for my own education in private school, private college, wasn't a scholarship athlete at a small school. And I want to take that same work ethic that I have in my business and in college athletics and put it to use in the city. I have a 3-year-old daughter and a 2-year-old son that I want to see grow up here, have kids here, and do it just like I did, and be really, really proud of what we've done over the next 4 years. I'm just raising my hand and asking to go to work.
All right, great. Candidate Hornbeck, you have a minute to tell us why you're the best qualified for this job.
Thank you, Mr. Rochelle, and I'll tell you, that's a voice I miss hearing. John Hornbeck for City Council District 1. I guess the heart of the question is what distinguishes me. It's not that I'm nicer. I like both these guys. I'm actually on the board of with Dr. Carlson for the Neighborhood Association, and I would say that we're all lifelong District 1 residents. I was born and raised in St. Pete, went to high school at Keswick Christian, college at the University of South Florida, St. Pete campus, and law school at Stetson. So I guess we're all nice people. I think we're smart. I guess what distinguishes us may be career. I've had a lot of people that value the fact that I'm an attorney, and I feel that as an attorney, I'm uniquely qualified to analyze complex problems and effectively communicate solutions. Thank you.
All right, we go to District 4. Candidate Hanowitz right now. You have a minute to tell us why you're the best qualified.
Thank you very much. Well, first of all, I've been in District 4 since 2006. I'm born and raised in Florida, born in Tampa, raised in Miami, and brought me back to beautiful Tampa Bay. I love our district. I've been the president of Crescent Lake Neighborhood Association since 2016. I've built it from the ground up. I have given so much of my time to our community in solving the issues that all our residents have had in our neighborhood. And I want to continue that on city council. I have been working with our neighborhood to help support our zoned elementary school, Willon Elementary. We brought on mentors. We built learning gardens. I'm on the board of the Shirley Parker Puller Foundation, which helps bridge the gap for students in South St. Petersburg. And I think it's extremely important to have that experience in the community. I'm an attorney. I'm a former state and federal prosecutor. And I've learned that the skills that I have as an attorney and the advocacy I've shown for my neighborhood, I can bring to you. Thank you so much.
All right, thank you. Candidate Mullins, you got a minute.
Great, thank you. Hey everyone, I'm Tom Mullins. I'm a first-time candidate. I guess I'd ask you to treat this like kind of like a job interview for a new city council member. And what are the things you look for in a job candidate? The first thing I think would be, is this a candidate that's likely to contribute new and good ideas to the process, to the city? I think actually I've already done that. I think I was the first candidate for citywide office in this campaign to put specific ideas out there in the direction of scrapping the existing redevelopment Tropicana Field concepts and starting over with a new RFP process. That idea, I think, has since been imitated by two of the leading candidates for mayor, and I would notice, sounded like some of the District 8 guys might have also warmed up to that. The other thing I'd look at is, will this candidate impact, can this candidate impact the city? I'm associated personally with two significant economic events in the city, which I'll tell you about later.
Okay. Candidate O'Dowd, you've got a minute to tell us why you're the best qualified.
Thank you. Well, first of all, I noticed a number of my constituents here were born here. I wish I was. I love the city so much. I've actually lived here, luckily, since 1993 with my wife. I'm a financial executive. I've been a CFO. I've been in charge of HR departments, contracting, which is very important for this job. I've also been on the board of HONA, which is the Historical Northeast Neighborhood Association, and kind of responsible for the infrastructure, for the sidewalks, the street signs, and even some of the flooding that's taking place. We have two children. Both are now in college, or actually one past college. But we were very specific in having our kids go to the Southside schools, Campbell Park, Gibbs High School, Lakewood High School, John Hopkins, and Bay Point. So we've been experiencing a lot of what's going on within the city, both from an educational perspective. I was also a small business owner. We owned Uncorked Fine Wines and Accessories on 4th Street for about 10 years. And I've owned property that I've had rental property that I've always rented out at below market. And the current one I have above my garage is extremely cheap and is very affordable.
Well, that was Doug O'Dowd. And before him, we heard Tom Mullins and Lisette Hanowitz. They are District 4 candidates for City Council in St. Petersburg. And before them, we heard John Horbeck, Copley Gertis, and Ed Carlson. They are District 1 candidates in St. Petersburg. You're listening to audio from a forum that was hosted by the League of Women Voters of the St. Petersburg area and the Institute for Strategic Policy Solutions at St. Petersburg College. And the election is 3 weeks from today. It's coming up on August 24th, the primary election. The top two in each of these races will face off in November's general election. VotePinellas.com has more information. And I should say that in District 4, there were two candidates that were not at the forum. Clifford Hobbs III and Jarib Figueredo were not at the forum. And in District 1, Bobby Shea Lee was not at this forum. So we're hearing from three of the four or five candidates in each of these two races. So we're going to hear again from the District 1 and District 4 candidates. They're going to be answering a second question here from former Bay News 9 anchor Al Rochelle. You're listening to WMNF Tampa. It's 10:16 in the morning, that is. Here's more.
Give me your three top priorities, things that you would like to accomplish or work on when you are elected. Mr. Hornbeck, you go first.
All right, so I'll briefly mention two of them because I want to spend a little bit more time on my very top one. So environmental accountability and sustainability. Here in the audience in the back is Melissa, and I thought it was very important to have a very active member of Sierra Club be part of my team. So I'm really plugged in to some of the most important matters that impact our environment. I'll talk about my number one priority, which is my youth first initiative, youth development. So I live right by Walter Fuller, and I had the privilege of attending growing up. I would later volunteer over 250 hours and was awarded the Volunteer of the Year by the City of St. Pete. The next year as a paid employee. And I want to make sure all kids, despite their socioeconomic background, have access to these wonderful programs. So that investing in my youth and in our youth is my very number one priority.
Candidate Carlson, same question. You got a minute.
Thank you. My number one priority is parks and lakes. Is we have 150 parks and the city is responsible for 72 lakes. They do a great job on the parks. They have not done a good job on the lakes. Jungle Terrace was totally overgrown, 10 acres of weeds. They sprayed it. They had 2 tons of fish kill. Didn't even know that we had 2 tons in there. The second thing is youth activities. Healthy neighborhoods make a healthy city. We raise children up healthy. They're going to be healthy citizens in our city. Third thing is safety. From wide sidewalks that are community sidewalks where everybody can be out on them and be part of the community to complete streets done right. The sheriff and the police with social services, SEPTED studies, crime prevention through environmental design. Your cell phone is a new sheriff in town, so citizens need to participate with law enforcement.
Candidate Gerdes.
Thanks. Yeah, I agree. I'll attach to the back of that safety, especially in District 1. You know, we've got a bit of an epidemic when it comes to car thefts, making sure, and frankly, I've been somebody's broken into my car in my home in District 1. We've got to continue to make sure that our neighborhoods are safe, especially locking our cars, making sure that we don't have car break-ins, because frankly, that's where a lot of these gun violent crimes are coming from, or we're stealing guns out of cars. And so we've got to crack down on neighborhood safety. Second would be, we have a unique opportunity in District 1 with a lot of commercial real estate that is available to be developed, specifically 16 acres of the Raytheon property that is still in flux. They thought they had a solution, they don't now. And so we've got to continue to work on commercial property. Last and certainly not least, we need to work and continue to work on our infrastructure, as I don't like feeling like I have a flat tire every time I drive down Fifth Avenue. So.
Candidate O'Dowd, same question.
I have three specific ones. It's what I talk about everywhere on my email and communications. It's affordable housing. First and foremost, affordable housing. We have to make sure that our public servants, the restaurant people, and the working class has a place to live. We're seeing this the prices for rent and home purchasing just go through the roof, and it's becoming really unaffordable. The sustainable infrastructure, for me, that's really important, because we've got to stop putting the raw sewage into our creeks and into the bay. I think there's some people who just celebrated because we didn't have that happen last week when Tropical Storm and Hurricane Ella came through, and that's ridiculous. We shouldn't be celebrating that. It should be an expectation that we have for the city that we don't do that. It also goes into the sidewalks, making sure they're ADA compliant. And then my third one is economic development, and that's not from the Central Avenue North. It's Central Avenue and South.
Mr. Hanowitz. Miss Hanowitz, I was supposed to say candidate. I slipped up.
That's all right. First, in our district, definitely is affordable housing. I think it's really citywide, but we saw the issues in our neighborhood starting early in 2017 when we saw the homes that first-time home buyers would buy and were starting to be torn down. And then you had $100,000 homes built in our neighborhood. And people, you know, you need a diverse housing stock so people can live in a neighborhood, start, you know, maybe single and continue to grow a family in the same neighborhood if they want to, or if they don't want to, that's fine. But you have to have that diverse housing stock, and we're seeing less and less in that. So affordable housing is a big thing. I think our infrastructure issues are huge. We're a peninsula on a peninsula. That goes back to our water quality issues. I think everything goes hand in hand. So that's going to be really integral in the future. We have to be ready for those storms. And then the last thing I would say is we need to make sure we're going to have growth no matter how you see it. It's happening. And we want to make sure that whatever growth happens, we can keep what keeps our city special. And that has to be something that's in our minds every time we make a decision. Thank you.
Candidate Mullins.
Sure. For District 4, I think the top three issues, the first one I would cite, to which I spoke to a little bit before, was the Tropicana Field site. I really think that the existing redevelopment concepts should be scrapped. I think they're flawed because none of them bring a jobs engine. I think running a new RFP process with to attract a transformative use for that property, it's astonishing, a property with national significance and huge value. Attracting something that is more transformative, that brings a job engine, is really my first priority. I think I'm one of the only candidates that, you know, has really made noise about watching out, defending against tax increases. Property taxes have creeped up pretty quickly on us over the last 8 or 9 years. And then the third issue I would say is really just as you travel around the country, you'll see even before COVID, a lot of the biggest cities in the country were declining, and the same policies were present in most of these large cities. I'd like to play defense against those same policies coming here.
Well, that was Tom Mullins. He's one of the candidates for City Council District 4 in St. Petersburg. Before him, we heard from Lisette Hanowitz and Doug O'Dowd, who are also District 4 candidates. And then before those, we heard District 1 candidates Ed Carlson, Copley Gertis, and John Horbeck. You're listening to WMNF Tampa 88.5 FM. My name is Sean Canan, and we're playing some audio of a candidate forum with City Council Districts 1 and 4. A couple of weeks ago, we played Council District 8. And here now we're hearing from the candidates who are looking to replace two of the current city council members from districts 1 and 4. Right now, the district 1 candidate is, or sorry, the district 1 commissioner is Robert Blackman, and in district 4 it's Darden Rice. Well, those two are going to not be continuing with their seats because they're both running for mayor, and we'll certainly hear more about that race between now and the August 24th primary. They're two of the 7 or 6 candidates for mayor. But right now, today, on this show, on the 10 o'clock hour, we're hearing from District 1 and District 4 candidates. And this is from a recent candidate forum with candidates for St. Petersburg City Council Districts 1 and 4, which was hosted by the League of Women Voters of the St. Petersburg area and the Institute for Strategic Policy Solutions at St. Petersburg College. So here is the next question to these six candidates. And the question, again, comes from former Bay News 9 anchor Al Rochelle.
There have been a lot of starts and stops, and I've been here since 1986, so I've been around for a while, of trying to bring economic development to South St. Petersburg. At one time, big stores tried to move into those areas. Publix tried it for a while. They pulled out other ones, and so we've had these food deserts have been created. So I want to ask each one of you, what is your blueprint for really bringing economic opportunity and equity to South St. Petersburg? And we'll start out, Mr. Geddes, on that one.
Yeah, well, I think first thing, we've got to continue to invest in the programs we have in place, like the Southside CRA, the EDC, and all of these public-private partnerships that we already have. We have to continue and follow through on those programs. Specifically to the food desert, I'd be a huge fan of creating a food market today to solve the problem today, and then work with, we've lost out on national chains trying to bring them to the south side. What we need to do is work with regional and more local businesses and thrive with that entrepreneurial spirit to bring that equality to the south side. Because we've tried that before. We continue to keep trying that same thing. That's just the definition of insanity. We got to try new ideas with continuing public-private partnerships and continue to invest in the programs that are working so far.
Candidate Hornbeck, same question.
If you go to my Facebook page, John Hornbeck for City Council, and you scroll down a couple, you'll see a post of me going on a record during a USF forum and speaking about the fact that I truly believe the biggest problem that faces Midtown is the food desert. Okay, so I started working with Wendy Wesley, many of you know her, on the community-owned grocery co-op. And my wife, if you scroll one post down, spoke about that from her perspective as a pediatrician. She sees a lot of these kids that are getting their meals from the convenience store. So I think that the biggest problem that we have in Midtown is a food desert. And I think that a community-owned grocery co-op is, it sounds like an excellent solution.
Candidate Carlson.
Yes, we need to increase small businesses and support small businesses that can grow from the ground up and keep improving and enhance that. You know, at the same time, we can look for medium-sized and large-sized businesses to come in, but we need to start within the community and grow small businesses from within the community.
Candidate Mullins.
Sure, I think I know something about creating jobs and economic opportunity. I'm associated with two of the biggest economic success stories, I think, in the local area. I'm a 30-year veteran of Raymond James. I'm one of the longtime senior officers there. Most of my ideas for creating empowerment for South St. Pete people rest in the private sector, and that's what I know best. But at Raymond James, we've created 8,000 jobs. We're the number one provider of six-figure compensated jobs in the area. We're the biggest supporter of arts, charitable, and social organizations in the neighborhood. So that's the type of event that lifts all boats. The other thing I would mention is redevelopment of the Trop under success, under a better plan, can do nothing but help create wider opportunities for folks in South St. Pete. And thank you.
Kennedy Dowd.
Yeah, on part of my number third thing is the economic development for the South Side. I think vocational training needs to start being pushed more for not just on the South Side, but everywhere in our community. We spent the last 50 years telling people if you don't go to college, you're a failure. And that's simply not true. So I think we need to find a way to focus and attract companies that will train. It could be a union. It could be companies that do train like that, or try to invest more into PTEC to really bring that as a solution. We got to start young. If we can get kids in third grade at or above state mandated levels, their incarceration rate and dropout rate drops significantly. So the one way to do it is make sure the school system right now has had some real struggles in the South Side that we're all aware of. I think we need to look at after school programs for not only the youth, but also the teenagers, and work with companies to drive in internships, give them the opportunity, the ideas of what's available to them. Because when you start having dialogue, you'll realize they're awesome, awesome people. And I think that's the way to start at that level. But thank you.
Candidate Hanowitz.
I think we've seen when the city actually focuses in an area, like they focus in downtown, it changes. And we can do that the same in South St. Pete. We have a huge opportunity with redevelopment of Tropicana Field. Frankly, I would like to see I-175 not there, or at least better access from that area to South St. Petersburg. So that way, when it's redeveloped, the benefits from that area go into South St. Petersburg. There is a definite opportunity with a community benefits agreement, and that's going to happen whether or not there's an ordinance. Because frankly, no matter what developer goes in there, there's going to be a community benefit agreement. And that can honestly deal with job opportunities, that can deal with training, education, you name it. We can make it happen, and we can make sure that the areas that should be lifted need to be lifted. And I think in terms of the food desert, I think we can definitely do more in terms of the Tangerine Plaza area. And we need to tackle some of the murder rates issues that we've had, and that's a community issue that we can address together with the city and also with the police department.
Well, that was Lisette Hanowitz. She's running for District 4 St. Petersburg City Council. Before that, we heard two of her opponents, Tom Mullins and Doug O'Dowd. Clifford Hobbs III and Jarib Figueredo were not at this particular forum. Before those three, we heard John Hornbeck, Copley Gertis, and Ed Carlson, three of the candidates running for District 1 City Council in St. Petersburg. Bobby Shea Lee was not at this forum. We're going to be back in 1 minute to hear, a little less than a minute, to hear more from this League of Women Voters of the St. Petersburg area and the Institute for Strategic Policy Solutions at St. Petersburg College. candidates for Districts 1 and 4 of St. Petersburg City Council after this WMNF announcement.
WMNF events are coming back. Join our 42nd birthday bash with Dylan LeBlanc Saturday, September 11th at the Palladium Theater's Hugh Hall. After a long break due to COVID-19, WMNF is thrilled to bring Dylan LeBlanc to downtown St. Pete in a socially distanced event at the Palladium Theater with special guest Rebecca Pooley opening the show. Dylan LeBlanc for WMNF's 42nd birthday bash. Tickets available at the Palladium box office in person, by phone, or online, and WMNF.org.
Well, this is WMNF 88.5 FM. Can't wait for that show. My name is Sean Canaan, and I'm the host of the 10 o'clock interview show. Well, today we're playing a candidate forum that was hosted by the League of Women Voters of the St. Petersburg area and the Institute for Strategic Policy Solutions at St. Petersburg College. I want to let you get to know some of the city council candidates for Districts 1 and 4. All of these people will be on the ballot in just 3 weeks, and if no candidate gets a majority in these races in the August 24th primary, the top two will face off in November's general election. VotePinellas.com has more information if you're a City of St. Petersburg resident and you want to find out more about voting. The deadline for registration has already passed, but there is still time for you to request a mail ballot, so you can find out more information there at VotePinellas.com. Well, we're going to hear right now from District 1 candidates, Ed Carlson, Copley Gertis, and John Horbeck, and District 4 candidates, Lisette Hanowicz, Tom Mullins, and Doug O'Dowd. They're going to be asked another question by the moderator, former Bay News 9 anchor, Al Rochelle.
And I have friends that live in Shore Acres. When I asked one of my buddies, why do you live in Shore Acres? He said, because I get to replace my carpet every 3 years. It was meant as a joke. But in reality, when it comes to environmental issues, we have areas in Pinellas County, in particular in St. Petersburg, that flood all the time. If rising sea levels are going to continue, my question for you on the council is, what are you really going to do that is actually going to have an impact rather than just scratching your heads and saying, yeah, we got to do something, but we don't know what that something is? We'll start out with candidate Carlson. You got a minute.
Yes. To be able to have an impact on what's happening is we have to have a whole continuum from prevention to intervention to enforcement to remediation to retroactivity.
The specific question was, what are we going to do to prevent flooding, sea level rise? What
right.
policies could the council actually institute in the next several years that would have an impact?
We're going to learn from the Netherlands, which has been living below sea level, 20% of theirs, and 50% of their country is only 3% above sea level for hundreds of years. We're going to learn from New Orleans, which has sections that are below sea levels. And we're going to apply that to our own experimental area, which is north of Snell Isle. So we have an area here that floods, whether it's faults and pumps, or whether it's levees or what, we need to be able to get our own city under control, and we have an area which we can experiment with that has experienced serious flooding in more than one occasion in the last 10 years. So we need to learn from the people who have already engineered solutions to the problem and begin applying it in our own city.
Mr. Gertis.
Yeah, I think really there are three things here. First and foremost, the long-term solution is continue with the city's plan and its pledge to be carbon neutral by 2035 and continue to track around that, if not before. That's going to help us long-term. Short-term, it's really two things in tandem with each other. We have to continue with the stormwater master plan, so water's got somewhere to go other than in our streets and in our homes. If we can fix the drainage problem, we can stop some of the low-lying flooding where people have to replace their carpet every 3 years in Shore Acres. And in West St. Pete, too, it's the same thing. And then the third thing is we have to continue to invest in barriers, both natural and man-made. I'm afraid of when it comes.
I only live 8 blocks off the water. And so we've got to continue to invest in those barriers. And those would be the three top priorities I'd be talking about.
Candidate Hornbeck, same question.
So, yeah, I'm a firm believer of the climate crisis. When I was, first time I saw the film Inconvenient Truth by Al Gore, and I started a Facebook group with over 4,000 members, I became chair of the Go Green Committee at law school. This is an issue I've wanted to tackle. I think St. Pete's on the right track with what Copley was saying, the ISAP plan, Integrated Sustainability Action Plan. But what I would like to see is a little bit more oversight, because all that stuff is good on paper, but if you're not really enforcing it, it's not going to occur. And finally, as we're all saying, is infrastructure. You got to invest in infrastructure. Look, it's not as sexy as talking about Tropicana Field and the future of the Rays and the pier and all these issues, but really, the infrastructure is one of the best investments we can make.
Candidate Hanowitz.
So the city right now is looking at the Integrated Water Resources Master Plan, and that's something that we just have to do. I mean, it's going to cost $2 to $3 billion. $2 billion is without bells and whistles. $3 billion is resiliency and sustainability. And if you want to stop all the water issues, we have right now our infrastructure that is old. And when your house, your plumbing's old, guess what? You have to replace it. It's not as nice as a new paint job, but you still have to replace it. And that's where we are right now. And we don't have to look far as to what's happening. We can look to Miami, where it's ground zero in terms of flooding. So that's infrastructure issues that we can deal with. I think they've been put off for a very long time, and it's time that we actually address it. Thank you.
Kennedy Mullins.
Sure. As Lizette mentioned with Miami, I mean, one of the fortunate things, even Shore Acres, I think, is probably a couple decades behind some other communities around the world, like Miami Beach, like Venice, Italy, who have had to deal with this already. I think really taking the best practices from some of those cities is the lowest risk, best way to go. And for the time being, for the next couple of decades, I think it's mostly going to be a civil engineering exercise, hardening the city and the neighborhoods against the effects of rising sea level, whether that's mangrove fields, raising seawalls, raising the elevation of houses and people's yards, building breakwaters. There's a variety of techniques, but again, we're lucky that there are a couple of guinea pigs out there that are going ahead of us, and we won't have to guess at it, I don't think.
Senator Dowd.
Yeah, first of all, I think in the short term, I have to be at the small and lifting throughout the city, simply because it's going to start coming. I think it was talked about earlier that every couple of weeks we're going to start having, as we have high tides and storms coming through, eventually we're going to have that flooding. So I think the seawalls is the probably the initial thing we have to start looking at. Oyster beds, mangroves are great ways to kind of build up our seashore a little bit and provide some of the protection that we would get from some of the waves that would be coming through, and plant more trees. Hona, we have a budget of $6,500. We were able to up it to $7,500, and we actually pay for people within the historical Northeast to plant trees. I think the city should be doubling down on that. So if we have a budget of $6,500, they should be, or $7,500, they should provide another $7,500 or another $15,000 so we can build more trees. What does trees do? They cool the environment, and secondly, they actually suck up a lot of water that's already in the or on the ground before it even gets out to.
Well, that's Doug O'Dowd, one of the five candidates that is for District 4 City Council in St. Petersburg. Before him, we heard two of the other candidates, Tom Mullins and Lisette Hanowitz. And before those three, we heard District 1 candidates, Ed Carlson, Copley Gertis, and John Horbeck. You're listening to WMNF Tampa, 88.5 FM. It's 10:39 in the morning. My name is Sean Canaan. And as a public service, we are bringing you the candidates for St. Petersburg City Council, Districts 1 and 4. This was from a forum that was hosted by the League of Women Voters of the St. Petersburg area and the Institute for Strategic Policy Solutions at St. Pete College. District 1 is kind of the west end of St. Petersburg, and it's currently represented by Robert Blackman. District 4 is the northeast area of north of downtown and just northeast of downtown, and it's currently being represented by Darden Rice. Well, both Darden Rice and Robert Blackman are not running for re-election because they are running for mayor. There are some of the eight or so candidates running for mayor, and we'll hear from them before the election for sure. If no candidate in the city council races gets a majority in the August 24th primary, the top two will face off in November's general election. You can find out more information at votepinellas.com. Well, let's hear more from these District 1 and District 4 candidates for St. Petersburg City Council. And here's a another question by former Bay News 9 anchor Al Rochelle.
This one comes from the audience. Zoning. Good, bad, and indifferent. Good if you want to control growth, but don't we all think that growth is good? But if you don't control growth, then you create lots of other problems. So generally, I want your opinions about how city council and the city can use zoning to its advantage without taking away people's private property rights. And Mr. Hornbeck, we're going to start with you.
Okay, so there's several solutions, and this is really an issue of affordable housing. And before I talk about my plans, I think it's very important to get everybody on board with it, because people in my district, District 1, when you talk to them about affordable housing, a lot of them, honestly, they don't care. Everybody's for affordable housing. They just don't want it in their own backyard. So I think it really starts with educating people that this isn't just Section 8 housing and the transient crowds. This is firefighters, you know, workforce housing. This is elderly. This is disabled people. So the first thing we get in order to have everybody on board with this is education. So upzoning, we can allow for loosen some of the regulations on mother-in-law suites and allow existing buildings for people to rent out, because we're kind of killing two birds with one stone. We're allowing these homeowners to make more money and also having people be able to afford housing.
Candidate Carlson.
Yes, the 1,000 people a day move into the state of Florida. That's a city the size of Tampa every single year. Those people are going to all the cities in Florida. So growth is something that we can't stop. We have to be able to deal with it creatively. And we need to maintain the character and the charm of the city of St. Petersburg. And at the same time, we have to be able to accommodate growth. And so we have to be creative about that, inventive, and be attentive to our city and keeping the character and the charm of St. Petersburg.
Mr. Gerdes?
Yeah, thank you. We see this a lot about zoning on the Community Planning and Preservation Committee. You know, I think we need to continue to look at creative ways to look at mixed use, to continue to look at mother-in-law suites and auxiliary dwelling units on properties. And I think some of those are coming along. But we've got to continue to come up with new and creative ideas that create opportunity to use some of these zoning features that we have in the 2050 master plan already to make sure that, and we communicate to them. That's what's happening, is that we've got a lot of good stuff. St. Pete, everybody up here has talked about what a great city it is. We've got a lot of great opportunity already. We got to communicate it to people so they know what's going on. And so we've just got to make sure that they know that they've got the opportunity and continue to invest in those programs that have the mixed use planning and the 2050 planning zoning.
Candidate Hanowitz?
We just went through the Vision 2050 process. This is a visioning process that does exactly this, address zoning. We did it back in 2020. You know, we had the Vision 2020. So the bottom line is the zoning is going to be changing based on what the needs are going to be in the city. And right now, through this process, what's going to happen is our comprehensive plan has to change, and so do the land development regulations. And this is going to go through a public process. That means that we're going to get input from everyone in the city in terms of what are the issues and how can we change the zoning. I think we're going to see some changes in terms of the corridors, because that's where you have a lot of the transportation that's going to go through the city. And if you're going to have affordable housing, you want people to have affordable housing that has transportation. So those things go hand in hand. So I think you're going to be seeing some of those changes. I also think that there's going to be changes in accessory dwelling units. We have those in our neighborhoods, and I think you're going to see more of those, because the accessory dwelling units allow for smaller apartments that people can live, and also help people with their mortgages. Thank you.
Kennedy Mullins.
Sure. On zoning, Houston, Texas is kind of famous for being the largest U.S. city without widespread zoning. Let me go on record and say I do not want St. Pete to look like Houston, Texas. I'm in favor of zoning. I like having some predictability and consistent character for the various neighborhoods of the city. That said, there really will need to be, I think, a lot more flexibility in the way we do zoning going forward. Florida is growing. Everyone is coming here, whether they're coming from misgoverned cities up north or they're coming from all points in Latin America. People are pouring in here, and you're simply going to have to, people are going to have to get, I think, comfortable and understand that if you want to keep housing at all affordable, We're going to have to tolerate some areas of the city, even ones outside of downtown, that will have higher density than they have now. The good news is most of St. Pete outside of downtown is developed at fairly low density. It's all single-family residential.
Candidate Dowd?
Yeah, I think you have to look at this zoning along with the infrastructure, because we can continue to grow, but if we don't build our infrastructure to support it, we're going to end up continuing to do the raw sewage into the creeks, into the bay. But having said that, I think if we get to that point where the infrastructure is solid, I think we have to work within the 2050 plan, and we have to look at and talk to the communities, because what works in Uptown does not work necessarily in Distant Heights or Central Oak Park, Snell Isle. And I think we just need to work with each community to find out what do they want to see as part of that vision. Do they want to sit there and have a higher density? Do they prefer having the garage apartments or in-law suites? And at what density level? You also have to look at the parking, because in some of the cities like Uptown, if you continue, I don't know how you could put much more into Uptown from the density perspective, but again, that would cause a huge issue with parking. So every neighborhood is different, so let's make sure we talk to them and respect their wishes and move it forward.
Well, that was Doug O'Dowd, one of the candidates for City Council District 4 in St. Petersburg. Before him, we heard Tom Mullins and Lisette Hanowitz. They are running in District 4, which is the west part of St. Petersburg, and it's currently being, that's the northeast of St. Petersburg, currently represented by Darden Rice, who is running for mayor. Before them, we heard from Ed Carlson, Copley Gertis, and John Horbeck, and they are running in District 1, which is the west side of St. Petersburg, currently represented by Robert Blackman, who also is running for mayor. You're listening to a candidate forum that was hosted by the League of Women Voters of the St. Petersburg area and the Institute for Strategic Policy Solutions at St. Pete College. We'll hear more from the candidates in just a second. I just want to let you know it's 10:47 in the morning. My name is Sean Canaan, and you're listening to WMNF Tampa, 88.5 FM, WMNF.org. You might be listening on the WMNF app. We'll hear more of the District 1 and District 4 candidates who are going to be on the August 24th primary election ballot. And here's a question about the Arts District from former Bay News 9 anchor Al Rochelle.
We have a wonderful Arts District that's developed. I loved it when people say, well, it just sprung up overnight. Well, it's 20 years springing up overnight, but we have a beautiful Arts District. How do you make sure that those kind of areas of St. Petersburg are still preserved without slamming in 50,000 apartments? I'm exaggerating, but if you go around Tropicana Field and you look at all those apartments, you go, holy smokes, where are all these people coming from? So how do you continue to support the Arts District without it being crowded out because you've got so many people that you can't have those small enclaves of artists? And we'll start out with Mr. Gertis.
Yeah, this is big to my heart. All through grade school and high school, I was a drama geek. I was the president of my drama troupe in high school, sang all through college. And so the arts hits home for me, and we've got to continue to invest. And I know St. Pete is known to be an arts community, and we've got to continue to have that feel and that culture. This goes a little bit back to the previous question, too. We got to make sure when we're developing this plan that we're taking that into account, that we're not just saying, hey, we've done a good job over the last 20 years. We've got this thriving arts community, so we can continue to focus on density and high rises and things like that. We've got to think, again, going back to the 2050 plan, that is part of the St. Pete culture. We need to keep it and protect it, but also continue to invest in it. This wasn't an investment of the last 20 years. It needs to be an investment of the next 20 years as well.
Candidate Hornbeck.
So I was, like Copley, I was a fine arts major in high school, and I love our community. There was an article that came out in 2018 by the New York Times, 52 must-go places before you die. And this isn't Huffington Post, this is the New York Times. And they rated us there, and one of the major reasons is because of our art scene, right? I'm a member of the James Museum. When I was in college, I'm not exaggerating, I went to the Salvador Dali Museum every single day. I love the Chihuly Museum. So I really love how much art and culture we have here in St. Pete, and I take a lot of pride in it.
Candidate Carlson.
Jungle Terrace has contributed to the art in our city by beneath Tyrone Overpass. This mayor said he was going to spend $500,000 on underpass art on one section in St. Petersburg. We said we have paint a pillar on Tyrone Overpass, so we put it on St. Pete Art Alliance. One day, they took it down and said, you have to get permission from FDOT. I said, our Florida legislator is our FDOT liaison. We had six artists that applied then, and they in turn told other artists, and it grew to where we had 22 artists that painted 21 pillars and 10 walls, and we got 10 pages in the St. Pete art book on murals. So there are things that neighborhoods can do, the things that the city can do. So we need to keep our neighborhoods participating in the process.
Kennedy Dowd.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's all right.
Yeah. So first and foremost, I think what we can do is, as we have certain developments, whether it be Tropicana Field or any other site, I think we should allocate some of that development to allowing for local artists to have a location within the site. Because we have to have art, and when we build buildings and what have you, I think it should be a local artist that does it. That way we can continue keeping that money in here and providing them the opportunity to showcase what they do. I've talking to the St. Pete Supports the Arts, one of the things they're looking into, we might want to look at, is the guaranteed income that San Francisco just released within the last 6 months, I believe. And that's, I think, something interesting to at least look at. And I think when I was talking to Duncan McCullen a few weeks ago, he thought it'd be great if any of the developments have it, you could have like windows where the local artists could support and showcase what they have with the location of where they're doing their wares. And that way you have another connection to the arts.
Candidate Hanowitz.
So I think no one can deny how important the arts is to our city. I mean, when the Salvador Dali collection, they were trying to find a home, and that person that came up and said, it should be St. Petersburg. And look at where we are today with how many museums have come here. And we have to have a place for our budding artists in this community, because they are our lifeblood. So in terms of what we can do, whenever there is an opportunity where taxpayer money is going in terms of a development, we need to make sure that somehow the arts are involved. If there is a project and there is a development and you can have arts to be a part of it, then that's something that we need to ensure that we do. In terms of the redevelopment of Tropicana Field, like was mentioned, I think it is important to make sure that part of that is a place where you can have artist enclaves. And in terms of other areas in the city, I think we need to promote art. You know, different neighborhoods should have grant monies that can go to art projects, and we've done that through matching grants and gotten murals in neighborhoods, and we can continue to do that through other art projects. Thank you.
And candidate Mullins.
Sure. With respect to the arts, there's really only one thing that sustains a strong arts culture in a city. Not surprisingly, that one thing is money. And so I guess I would, this isn't necessarily a matter of municipal regulation or anything. I would just encourage people, go to the art shows, buy art for your home, buy it from living artists. Even if you're a billionaire, and we do have a few here locally, don't buy trophy Picassos. Buy good art from living local artists. And that's what sustains the art community. I'll expand the topic a little bit to talk about architecture also. One thing I would endorse here is, you know, as we think about going to higher density housing and development in some areas of the city where that's suitable, I commit to you, I will not support any boring buildings. We need to, to be consistent with the arts culture, we need to have great architecture here too. Thanks.
Well, that was Tom Mullins, one of the candidates for District 4 St. Petersburg City Council. Before him, we heard Lisette Hanowitz and Doug O'Dowd, who are also running in District 4, which is the northeast of St. Pete, currently represented, that is, by Darden Rice, who is running now for mayor. And before them, we heard Ed Carlson, Copley Gertis, and John Horbeck, the District 1 candidates in this forum from the League of Women Voters of the St. Petersburg area and the Institute for Strategic Policy Solutions at St. Petersburg College. It's 10:54 in the morning, and we have time for only half of the next question. So we're going to hear just from the District 1 candidates here. This is, again, Ed Carlson, Copley Gertis, and John Horbeck, who are running for District 1. Bobby Shea Lee was not at the forum. And this is the last question is about race, and it's, again, introduced by former Bay News 9 anchor Al Rochelle.
In terms of race relations, there are people in South St. Petersburg and other parts that don't feel that they've been treated fairly. And that's the way it is around the country a lot. So we hear the word equity. But I want to know what it means to you in your mind, and then even more importantly, how do you implement equity and develop a tool to measure equity to make sure that what you're proposing actually is working. And we'll start out with candidate Carlson.
I'm 100% for equality. I'm 100% for equity. Equity is based on need, and equality is based on we're all brothers and sisters and we treat each other with love and equalness. So equity goes to back to neighborhoods again. I know what Jungle Terrace neighborhood needs. We have 100 neighborhoods plus in this city. I don't know what the other neighborhood next to us needs, or the neighborhood on the south side needs, the neighborhood in Snow Isle needs, or the other neighborhoods. So the key is I need those neighborhoods to tell me what they need so that I can advocate for that and help each neighborhood accomplish being healthy, because healthy neighborhoods build a healthy city.
Mr. Gerdes.
Yeah, when I think about equity, I think about driving through this city and seeing the progress of the city throughout its entirety. We don't see that right now. We have got to continue to invest in the areas where we're not providing equity and overfund. I think Ms. Hanowitz said it. We've got to overfund into those until that happens, until you can drive across north to south, east to west, and you see the same opportunity across the city, because right now you don't. And until that happens, we don't have it. Now, are we getting there? I think so. I think we've done some good things to move the needle. But when I think about equality, I think about driving on every street and seeing the same progress. And until we do that, we haven't gotten there.
So what is equity? Well, it's really equal rights. And I spoke about, and as an attorney, I've really fought for this for many years. I've talked about I want the people in Midtown to have the equal access to safe, affordable, healthy, nutritious food as people in my district do. I talked about youth, right? I want to make sure every kid, despite their socioeconomic background, has equal access to the wonderful programs that made me the man I am today. These programs are social programs, they're fitness-driven programs. So if you want to find out more about me, you can visit votehornbeck.com and you'll see a little bit more.
Well, that was John Hornbeck, and before him, we heard Copley Gerdes and Ed Carlson. Those three are running for District 1 City Council in St. Petersburg, and there's also another person who is not at this forum that is running, and that's Bobby Shea Lee. District 1 is the west part of Central St. Petersburg, currently represented by Robert Blackman. Blackman is not running for re-election because he is running for mayor. And earlier in the show, we heard a lot from District 4 candidates, and here are the three that we heard from: Lisette Hanowitz, Tom Mullins, and Doug O'Dowd are the three candidates that you heard from this hour for District 4, which is the northeast of St. Petersburg, right north of downtown, really, currently represented by Darden Rice, who also is running for mayor. And in addition to Lisette Hanowitz, Tom Mullins, and Doug O'Dowd, who we heard from today, Clifford Hobbs III and Jarib Figueredo are also running for District 4. They were not at this forum. And this forum was hosted by the League of Women Voters of the St. Petersburg area and the Institute for Strategic Policy Solutions at St. Petersburg College. And as you heard, it was moderated by former Bay News 9 anchor Al Rochelle. So on August 24th, if you live in St. Petersburg, you will vote in your district for one of these districts, if you happen to live in a district that has candidates running. So if you live in District 8, which is South St. Petersburg, if you live in District 1 or District 4, and I'm sorry if I got District 8 wrong, but if you live in District 4, which is the northeast of St. Petersburg, or District 1, which is West St. Petersburg, you can vote for these candidates. And if no candidate gets a majority in the August 24th primary, the top two will face off in November's general election. If you want more information about how to vote in the St. Petersburg election, if you're a city resident, you can go to votepinellas.com. It's too late to register to vote for this election, for the primary, that is, for November's general election. You certainly can still register. But there is still time for you to request a mail-in ballot from votepinellas.com. So you can go there for more information. Well, you've been listening to WMNF Tampa, 88.5 FM. My name is Sean Canaan, and we did play you. So now you've heard from all the candidates who are at this forum that are running for St. Petersburg City Council. On these airwaves, you've heard from two of the candidates for mayor recently. We're going to bring in the others, or we'll hear from them in a forum. We'll definitely hear from all the candidates running in the St. Petersburg Petersburg city elections, which come up in the primary, is 3 weeks from today, August 24th. I want to thank Lamar Robinson and Clark for their help today in producing the show. And if you like what you hear on the News and Public Affairs block here on WMNF Tampa, please donate now at WMNF.org. Our fundraiser, which was only 2 days last week, it came up a bit short, so we are still looking for donations. You can also call 813-238-8001 to make a donation or donate at WMNF.org. Up next is NPR News Headlines. But hey, in 5 minutes, you will hear from Janelle Irwin. She is back in her new time, 11 on Tuesday mornings today. She has a public health expert, and they will be talking about the COVID-19 surge. You're listening to WMNF Tampa, St. Petersburg, Sarasota, and Lakeland. Thanks so much for listening. Please stay tuned.
Live.